Open your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read three verses with you that will serve as a text. This should be a message of great comfort to you. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's read verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, I thought this was going to be a message of comfort. Well, look at verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, Spirit of our God. I am so thankful. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. God is merciful to sinners. Aren't you? Because that's me. He's merciful to the guilty. I'm so thankful that that mercy endureth forever, because I'm going to need it till the day I die. I'm so thankful that Peter wrote, the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. I'm so thankful, because he's going to have to put up with me till the day I die, be long suffering with me. I'm so thankful that salvation is of the Lord, that nothing depends upon me. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful salvation's by grace and not by works. I haven't got any good works. So thankful God just freely gives it. I'm so thankful Christ receiveth sinners. That's me. Even the chief. I'm so thankful Christ is all in salvation. That he's done it all. He is all. There's nothing left for me to do but trust him. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he said, I'm complete in him. Aren't you? I'm so thankful for the covenant of grace that God preordained my salvation before the foundation of the world. And this covenant is ordered in all things, and it's sure. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is the surety, that this thing's in his hands, that I'm in his hands, because I'm in good hands. Not with all states, but with Jesus Christ. I'm in good hands. I ain't got just a piece of the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I was given to Christ in that covenant, and that everybody who was given to Christ will be saved by Christ. I'm so thankful. I'm so glad about that, that I don't have anything to worry about. I'm so glad that those sheep that Christ died for will never perish. He promised that. He said, I give unto them eternal life. They'll never perish. Nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, Peter wrote, that they'll be kept by the power of God. They don't have to keep on keeping on. They don't have to keep the faith, brother. That they're not keeping themselves, that they're being kept. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. That's the reason I'm bound to give thanks to God. To God for all of this. I'm so thankful. And everything I've just said is a summary of the gospel of my salvation. I'm so thankful for the gospel of my salvation. My, my. I wish I was more thankful. You know, what we think of Christ and the gospel, some of you, your eyes lit up when I was saying those things. Some of you were smiling right along with me. Some of you were nodding your head right along with me as I was talking about all the blessings of God that are in Christ. The salvation, the sure and the certain and the free and effectual and final and finished redemption of Christ. Some of you were just nodding and smiling. You know, what you think of Christ in the gospel is in direct proportion to what you think of yourself. What you think of Christ and the gospel. What you think of Christ and the gospel is in direct proportion to what you think about yourself. Get it? The most important question I could ask you, the question that Christ asked His disciples was this. What think ye of Christ? I was approached by some so-called Mormons last night. I talked to them more than an hour on my front porch. And they asked me many questions and so forth. And I asked them basically this one question. What do you think of Christ? Tell me about Christ. You want to share the message of Jesus Christ? Then share it. Tell me about Christ. Don't tell me about the Mormons. Don't tell me about the Book of Mormon. Don't tell me about Joseph Smith. Don't tell me about Moroni. Don't tell me about it. Tell me about Jesus Christ. Tell me about it. And before I ask you that, though, let me ask you this. What do you think of yourself? Your answer to what you think of Christ is in direct proportion to what you think of yourself. What do you think of yourself? If you ask me that question, this is what I would say. I would say with the other Paul, that other Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Wouldn't you? I would say with that Paul, I am less than the least. I would say I am the chief of sinners. Brother Ron Trabent said there's going to be one argument in heaven. Who claims to be the chief of sinners? Everybody claims it. All of his people do. I'm the chief of sinners. Ask me what I think about myself. I'll not say like that fella told me on the phone, I'm a pretty neat fella. When I asked him that, you ask me, I say, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. I'll say with Paul, I'm unworthy to be called a saint. Unworthy to be called a disciple. I'll say with Isaiah, I'm undone. There's nothing good about me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'll say with Peter, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'll say I'm unlovely, I'm ungodly, I'm the vilest of the vile, the sinfulest of the sinner, sinful. Is that what you'll say? Then if you ask me what I think of Christ, ask me what I think of myself, I'll say all that. I can't describe myself in bad enough language. But ask me what I think of Christ, I can't describe Him in good enough language. When you ask me what I think of myself and I say, oh, wretched man that I am, you ask me what I think of Christ, I say, oh, holy man that He was. I'll say I'm less than the least, but I'll say about Him, He's greatest of the great. I'll say I'm the chief of sinners, but I'll say He's the chief of the chiefs, King of kings, the Lord of lords. I'll say I'm unworthy to be called a disciple, but I'll say of Him, He's worthy. I'll say I'm undone, and I'll say He's complete. He's perfect and complete. I'll say, I'm a man of unclean lips, but I'll say of Him, He grace pours from His lips. I'll say, I'm a sinful man. I'll say about Him, though, He's the sinless man, the only one. I'll say about me, I'm unlovely. I'll say about Him, He's altogether lovely. I'll say about me, I'm ungodly. I'll say about Him, He's the express image of God. I'll say about me, I'm the vilest of the vile. I'll say about Him, He's the fairest of the fair. What do you think of Christ? It's in direct proportion to what you think about yourself. I'll say this, sum it all up, Christ is all and in all. The gospel. The gospel is the most glorious and mysterious thing I know of. You ask me what I know, we all ask each other that every day, don't we? What do you know? If you know the gospel, you know a lot. What's new? Whenever somebody asks, what's new? You ought to say this, all His mercies are new every morning. What's new? The good news is still new and fresh. The gospel is the greatest, the wisest, most magnificent thing ever conceived. John Newton had a glorious sermon which he called the gospel, the greatest stroke of genius ever displayed. Stroke of genius. All the wisdom, power, and person of our God is revealed in the gospel. How a just and a holy God, who will by no means clear the guilty, and we're all guilty, whatever the law says to us, says to them that are under the law, that all the world may be, every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty. God will by no means clear the guilty, yet He justifies and clears some people. Men couldn't have come up with the gospel in a million years if they'd put their heads together. A way that God could be just and justify the ungodly sinner. No way. For God to punish sinners, kill them, yet spare them. For God to exact justice, yet forgive them. You see, God will punish sin. This is the problem with our generation today. They think there's no judgment, no God, no God of judgment. Therefore, they don't fear Him. They think God is all love, right? If He's all love, then we don't have to fear Him, do we? Love casts out fear, doesn't it? They think there's no judgment against sin. That's the reason people live like hell and expect to get into heaven, right? Because they think God's all love. But God will punish sin. All of it. Every sin. Listen to these verses of Scripture. God will by no means clear the guilty. That's recorded more than once. He hateth all workers of iniquity, the Scripture says. He is angry with the wicked every day. Are you wicked? He shall rain fire and brimstone and horrible tempest on the wicked. Listen to Hebrews 2:2. Every transgression and disobedience shall receive a just recompense of reward. Every transgression and disobedience shall receive a just recompense and reward. Everyone. Well, look here in our text in 1 Corinthians 6. This is what Paul is saying in verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And there's none righteous. None righteous. No, not one. He says here, be not deceived. Are deceived, aren't they? Paul said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He says to us, be not deceived, neither fornicators. Listen to me now. Listen to the word of God here. The sexually active before marriage, the perverse in these acts, unclean, neither idolaters, look at that, fornicators nor idolaters. He says in another place, covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is loving, following, pursuing anything but God. Right? Anything above God. Neither idolaters nor adulterers. Look at that. Adulterers. Actually, those who commit it, or those who think it. Remember, the law is spiritual. Our Lord magnified it, didn't He? When He said, if you look on a woman, you've committed adultery already. He says they'll not inherit the kingdom. Nor effeminate. That means, effeminate doesn't mean just sissies, although it does. It means the soft, the lazy, the fat, the useless, the worthless. Effeminate. Look, read on. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's homosexuality, perverts. Look at the next verse. Nor thieves, stealers of things, purloiners. You can steal time on the job. You can steal whatever. Be deceptive, scheming for yourself. Thieves, robbers of God's glory. That's a thief. That's the worst kind of thief, isn't it? Robbing God's glory. Read on. Everybody's getting uncomfortable, aren't they? Nor covetous. Anybody who desires and wants anything over and above God. Covetous. Nor drunkards. Drunkenness would damn you. You know that? That's what it says here, doesn't it? Did it say that? Nor revilers. There's quick-tempered strikers, brawlers, fighting people that are defensive all the time, ready to fight, get their back up in the air quickly. Revilers. Who, when they're reviled, they revile back. Spew out of their mouth. Revilers. Nor extortioners. The word has a terrible meaning. It actually means rapists. You know that? Extortioners of people's persons or extortion of the things of different people. These shall not inherit. Know ye not? That's what he said in verse 9. Know ye not that these shall not inherit the kingdom of God? People don't seem to know that, do they? Today. Don't you be ignorant, people. They won't inherit. Right, look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Like I said, I'm so thankful God is merciful. I'm so thankful Christ receives sinners. I'm so thankful for the blood. I'm so thankful for the covenant of grace. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the gospel, the good news, my salvation. I just heard the bad news. And for those who heard the bad news, they'll rejoice in the good news. And then they'll be like Scott Richardson, and they'll say, once I heard the good news, they ain't heard no more bad news. Huh? And such were some of you. I'm looking at a bunch of scallywags, and you're looking back at the worst. This is a sorry lot. You know you're a sorry lot. You're like Lot, and you're sorry. But so am I. So am I. Look over at Matthew chapter 12. And such were some of you. Matthew chapter 12 with me. Look at it now. This is good news. Matthew 12, according to our text, 1 Corinthians, and here in Matthew 12, the vilest of the vile and the chief of sinners. If there's a sinner in here this morning, this is good news. According to our text, the vilest of the vile, the worst of the worst, the chiefest of sinners are sometimes saved. Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. Read it with me. Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Our Lord Himself says, wherefore I say unto you, now it's not just anybody talking here. This is the judge. This is the one that's going to sit on that throne that we're going to stand before. He says, I say unto you, listen up. It's good news. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. All those things Paul listed in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And verse 32, and whosoever shall speaketh a word against the Son of Man even against Christ, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I'm not going to dwell on that. Spend too much time on that. But I will dwell on this forgiveness. This forgiveness. All manner of sin and blasphemy. All those things that Paul listed, even against Christ. Saul of Tarsus did, didn't he? Didn't Saul of Tarsus, isn't he glad that all manner of sin and blasphemy, even against Christ, is forgiven? Saul went about hailing men and women to jail who believed in Jesus Christ, didn't he? Paul said, he wrote it, he said, oh, God forgives. God forgives. I did. I remember telling somebody one time that everything my dad preached was a lie, that I could disprove it. Well, Bob, I was about 18 years old at the time. You know, when you're 18, you got it all figured out, right? When you get 38, you figure out that there ain't so much you know after all. But I did then, and I said that this gospel and everything my father had preached was a lie. What I was saying was against Jesus Christ, wasn't it? I'm thankful all manner of blasphemy be forgiven. Aren't you? Now you were. You were an unbeliever. Unbelieving. When you're in unbelief, when you're out there in the world and don't give a thought to God, don't give a thought to the gospel, don't give a thought to Christ, what you're saying is, the heck with Christ. Who needs Him? He might as well not have come. Right? Isn't that what every unbeliever is saying? Everybody that's not in the house of worship this morning, worshiping God, blessing God for Christ, what they're saying is, I don't need Christ. He might as well not come. Go on back. We don't need you. Right?
I'm thankful He forgives that.
I'm thankful. Well, look back at the text again, 1 Corinthians. He says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. And he goes on to list all these things. Unrighteous. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And such were some of you. I tell you, it's a shame to speak of those. Don't get up. If I was to ask you to give your testimony, don't get up and tell about how drunk you got. It's a shame to speak of those things. People do that, don't they? You hear these little testimony meetings? They get up and talk about how bad they were. They're glorying in it. Another fellow gets up and tries to outdo him. I'm better than you. Let me tell you about it. And that old widow down there, that woman down there who'd never touched liquor in her life, is going, wow. Tell it again. It's better than a novel. Better than the National Enquirer is feeding their own lusts is what it's doing. Don't do that. It's a shame to speak of those things. I'm ashamed of my life, aren't you? I don't want to hear about it again. I'd just soon forget it, wouldn't you? I don't want to tell it again. I want to forget it. Thank God He has forgotten. He's not going to bring it up. Why should I? It's enough to say I was bad. Right? Sinner. Such were some of you. What'd you do? What'd you do? Some bad ones in here, aren't there? Huh? If we were opening up the screen tonight, pull down the screen and show a movie of your past life, oh, you'd run out of here. You'd hightail out of here, wouldn't you? Show the darkness, the things that did in the dark. That's when it really comes out, doesn't it? You think nobody's watching. Oh, you'd hightail out of here, wouldn't you? And such were some of you.
But there is a fountain
filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners, the worst, plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Such were some of you, but you're washed. I hear one of our brethren, every time he stands up to praise it, I thank you for the blood of Christ who washes us from our sins. That's as good a prayer as there gets, folks. You can have the prayers of your doctors and your theologians. I'll take that right there. I'll take that to the throne of God. Thank you for the blood. Isn't that what we're going to be singing about throughout eternity? Huh? Going to be one subject on the lips of all saved sinners. Blood! Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood.
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb? Huh? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Huh? Some of you have been. By God's mercy, God's love, and God's grace, you've been brought to see yourself. You've been brought to see your filthiness, your wretchedness, and then God shows you there's a fountain. It's filled with blood. How can I get in that red stuff and come out white?
Try it and see.
There's a fountain. No, more than that, you've seen the sufficiency of that blood. You've seen whose blood it was. You've seen what he did, why he did it, where he is now, what the blood accomplishes. The blood before the Lord. You've seen the sufficiency of that blood. The soul cleansing, saving power of that blood. There's power in the blood. Power. Wonder working power. In the blood. Yeah, in the blood. Of the Lamb. Yeah, of the Lamb. And you've seen it by God's grace and by God's mercy and by God's love. He's drawn you to see yourself, your filthiness, and show you that fountain flowing for the soul unclean. And you say, I want in. I want in. I want to dive head first. Lord, don't just wash my feet. Wash my soul in the blood. And by faith, that's all faith is, plunging in the blood. That's all faith is just plunging in the blood. And you come out clean. You say, I don't look it. I look in the mirror and I see pretty much the same old thing.
You're clean.
Christ said it, didn't he? If you've been washed, you don't need to be washed again. You're clean. You've been washed. You're clean. Every wet, every sin, but your feet need washing in the Word, just like this morning. But you're clean. There's nothing. He's blotted out the handwritings of ordinances against you. If God were to open the book on your life, if you're a believer, if you're in Christ, God were to open the book up of your life, He could show it to everybody. You know that? He could show it to everybody. He'd open that book and it'd be, it wouldn't be anything there. There wouldn't be anything written. All it would say across there is, justified. Or it might say this, in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Clean. Every whit. And he goes on to say, but you're washed. You're washed. And he says, you're sanctified. You're sanctified. Sanctified. Some of you, by God's mercy, God's love, God's grace, have been separated, called out by the Holy Spirit. Why did he call me out and not my buddies, my old cronies? John Davis. You got some old cronies you used to run around with who are still old cronies? I mean, still. Why did he choose you out of that? Huh? Here you got a multitude of fellows running and getting into every manner of evil and iniquity. They live for it. They lay on their bed and they think about the next day's evil. If they ever go to bed, stay up all night doing it. Wake up in the morning, plotting, planning it. Go to work earning money so they can spend it on evil. Huh? Here's a bunch of cronies running around together, seeing what they can get into, what hell they can raise. And God Almighty in mercy and love and grace one day comes along and picks one of them out of that. Just one of them. He doesn't have to get any of them, does he? He comes along, picks one of them out, dips them in the blood, sits them, clothes them in the right mind, with a Bible in their laps, and a song of praise and rejoicing on their lips, Christ in their heart, sanctifies them by the Holy Spirit, calls them out, woos them. Makes them fall in love with what they once hated and hate with once they want with what they once loved. Sanctified. Some of you were separated, called by the Spirit of God, called to Christ by faith, granted repentance. It's the goodness of God that led you to repentance, wasn't it? Nobody would be saved that doesn't repent. And it's only the goodness of God that makes anybody repent.
There's a lot of people out there accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. There's very few people saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The sinner. A lot of people talking about how they're going to give their life to Jesus. A lot of people, very few people say, my life ain't worth giving to Jesus. A lot of people talking about, I'll give my heart to Jesus. There's a very few people saying, I need a new heart. What's he want with that old dirty one? I need him to give me a heart. But you, such were some of you, but you're sanctified, called out, separated. Why me? What we're going to be, Joe, you and I are going to be walking arm in arm in glory. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Worthy is the Lamb. Justified, sanctified. He says that in verse 11. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Like I said, all of those things that were against you, God just says, wipe them off. If the book was open against you then, it would be black. You couldn't, the book wouldn't, the world wouldn't hold the books recording our iniquity. It's a big volumes against us. The handwriting of ordinances against us. God says, blot them out. Clean them up. How? Nail them to the cross. Wash them in the blood. When that soldier comes by with a spear and rips the guts of Jesus Christ open, that blood just spilt all over those ordinances. Justified. God says they're clean. Some, by God's mercy, love, and grace, because of Christ, His work, His person, who He is, what He did, where He is now, His righteousness imputed, His substitutionary death, His resurrection, His mediation right now, have been declared by God Almighty, who is holy, who will by no means clear the guilty, has declared that some people innocent of all charges. Here I stand, Paul Mahan, before God Almighty who sees all, knows all, whose eyes run to and fro in the earth, says of me, I declare him totally without sin, spotless, unblameable, unreprovable before me. Holy. That's the reason. Throughout eternity, we were going, not on us. Not on us. How'd you get here? If I ask you that, if I see you, how'd you get here? I don't need to ask it. But if I did, you'd say, not on us. I didn't do anything. I did the sinning. Christ did the saving. I did the rejecting. Are you going to be there because you accepted Jesus? If you ask me that, I'll say, I did the rejecting. God did the accepting. I did the sinning. Christ did the dying. He did the saving. Not by my doings, but by His dying. By His doing. Justified in the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the text once again, all right? And I'll hurry up. Look at the text once again. And let me look at it with a new thought, all right? A new thought. You with me? It says there in verse 11, and such were some of you. Some of you. Not everybody who has been saved was saved out of a life of open corruption. Right? Not everybody was saved from a life of open sin, of laying in the gutter drunk, or the other things he mentioned. Not everybody. Some people were saved out of religion. I've told you the story about my sister, haven't I? She said when she grew up, she was a model child. Preacher's kid, a girl, just a model child. Moral, upright, unblameable before men.
in religion. She could say with the Apostle Paul, touching the righteousness of the law outwardly, blameless. She was in church every Sunday, went off to college, didn't, for all we know, didn't get in all of the wild parties that kids, the reason they go off to college for, and went to church while she was away and all that. And she'd tell you right now she was the most self-righteous person on the face of the earth. She was good and moral and upright, but she was lost. Double lost. You know that's double darkness? It's double darkness. Some are saved out of double darkness. That is, they think they see the light, and they're just as blind as they can be. Christ said, there's none so blind as those that will not see. They don't see themselves. They read the scriptures, it says none righteous. They don't say that's me. They don't read the scriptures that say there's none that doeth good, no, not one. They don't say, well, that's me. Self-righteous, lost, yet they think they're saved. That's a double darkness. You see, they're resting in a refuge of lies, a refuge of their own works, their own religiosity, their own morality. And that's a dangerous place to be. God despises that as much or more so than He does open iniquity and open corruption. God, in His goodness, is going to have to show us that we're sinners. Religious ones, but sinners. And some of you were like that. Thank God He saved some religious. Thank God He saved some moralists. Thank God He shows some good moral women that they're bad, evil sinners. Thank God for that. Such were some of you. And look at it again. It says, such were. Now, this is important. Such were some of you. But you're washed. You're washed. Well, you say, I still feel the workings of these things within me. Could it be that I'm not saved? Well, hurry over to Romans 8 with me, okay? Romans chapter 8, and I'll be through in a moment. Romans chapter 8. Let me ask you this question. He says, such were some of you, but you're washed now. Let me ask you a question, okay? And deal with your own self. Ask yourself this question, all right? Does sin reign and rule over you? Do those things that you once were involved in control your life? Come on now. Are you totally in bondage to these things as you once were? Huh? I didn't ask if these things bother you sometimes. I asked you if they control you. There's a difference. Look at Romans 8, verses 16 and following. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. He's talking to believers. That we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. That is, we died with Him on the cross. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Look down at verse 23. And all of the creation and the creatures, and we ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. Now, I know that these thoughts and these temptations still plague us. They always will, as long as we live in the body of this body of flesh, which is subject to sin. And sometimes we even fall into an actual committal of these things, open sin. I know that. But I'm asking you, do these things control your life now? Huh? Do you have pleasure in them? pleasure in them and live for them. Huh? Do you? The text says, over there in the text, it says the unrighteous, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, and so forth. That text says present tense. Do you notice that? It says the unrighteous now, the fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, drunkards, revilers, present tense, active tense. Those who live in and are practicing those things now, practicing those things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't this deal do away with all antinomian tendencies and beliefs? Huh? Sure it does. And I ask you that. I ask you, do these things that you once had pleasure in that your conscience never pricked you? We were talking about this yesterday, weren't we, brother? You never gave them a thought. They just came so natural to you, and they ruled you, and it ruled your flesh. You're like an animal, like a beast, following your natural instincts. Everything, whatever it felt good, do it. Huh? That's the way it was. What about now? Huh? As many as are the sons of God, they're led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. He says the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, sin shall not reign over you. You're under grace now. You got a new taskmaster. And he's kind. The Lord, he reigns and rules now. Does it reign and rule over you now? You see, there's a difference between plagued with them and sometimes falling into it. Yes, sometimes we do fall into these things. But they don't reign and rule over us like they once did. Such were some of you. Like I said, there was a time when I didn't, my conscience never pricked me. I don't care what it was, I'd do it without the slightest tinge of conscience. Not now. Everything, every sin pricks your heart, pricks your conscience now. And if you fall into it, you get in the worst shape you've ever been in. You go right back to Calvary, don't you? You go right back to where you started in the very beginning. I'm just a sinner and nothing at all. And that's why Christ is my all and in all. Such were some of you, but you're washed. You're washed now. You're regeneration by the Spirit. It's a difference. You know, I always quote, in closing, let me quote again what I always quote. I've always quoted to you that saying my old brother John Newton. Any of you read his story? Some of you have. Old John Newton was a bad fellow. He was an old seafarer. He was a sea captain. He was a slave trader. He traded in slaves now. How bad of a rogue can you be? You know what sailors are like, don't you? Supposedly the reputation sailors have. How about a slave trader on top of that? A slave trading sailor dealing in the bodies of human beings. He was a slave trader. Lord saved that old boy. You know, they made him a slave, didn't he? They made him a slave. The Lord, that's how he brought him to himself. He was shipwrecked and taken in by a black family, and he became their slave. And the Lord saved that old boy. He's the one that wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And he meant wretch. But Newton is the one that made this statement also. He said, concerning himself, after the Lord saved him, he said, I'm not what I want to be. And if you'll read some of Newton's poems and hymns throughout his later years, he expresses the things that are dear to your heart, things that touch your heart. Oh, 'tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Poems like that, talking about his own struggles with sin, his own corruption and all that. He said, I'm not what I want to be. Paul said it, didn't he? I haven't arrived. I'm so wretched man that I am.
He said, John Newton said, I'm not what I want to be, and I'm sure not what I'm going to be. Oh, what I'm going to be compared to what I am now, he won't recognize me. But he added this, and I ask you, can you add this? He said, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I'll add to that saying, thank God for Calvary. That's why I'm not what I used to be. And such were some of you. But you're washed. You're washed in that blood of the Lamb. Brother Joe's going to come up and lead us in a singing of this hymn, 198. I tell you, that blood, because of whose blood it is, the pure, spotless, holy blood of Jesus Christ, that blood can wash away the vilest of the vile, all of their sin, the most sinful of the sinful. I don't care what your past has been or what your present is, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Let's stand and sing 198, a couple of verses.